Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
10 to 6, Friday evening. Tom Swarbrick on LBC means only one thing. You've just downed tools for the weekend, kicked off your brogues and are settling in for the investment session. The only place on British radio designed to make you richer. But that's for future you to enjoy. Now you gets to swill around in the sound bath that is the best storytelling across the Atlantic for Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, we've got two choices this Friday. We can join everyone else and wallow in the sordid details of Stormy Daniels' testimony at Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York, or we can just ride above it, leave it to the jury to decide what really happened, cover it when they deliver a verdict, and focus on far more important issues in the meantime. So if you're looking for the tawdry stuff, I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place this Friday night. My mind is elsewhere.
If they go into Rafah, they haven't gone in Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that problem.
President Joe Biden on Wednesday finally belatedly dropping the boom on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, sort of. His comments in that interview with CNN were imprecise. After all, reports from Gaza indicated that the Israelis had already begun an assault on Rafah. The president was pressed on the matter by CNN's Erin Burnett, and I'm going to play this at length with a warning that it's a bit of a tough listen.
What they're doing right now in Rafah, is that not going into Rafah as you define
it
yet?
They haven't gone into the population centers. What they did is right on the border, and it's causing problems with right now in terms of with Egypt, which I've worked very hard to make sure we have a relationship and help. But I've made it clear to Bibi in the War Cabinet, they're not going to get our support if, in fact, they go in these population centers. We're not walking away from Israel's security. We're walking away from Israel's ability to wage war in those areas.
So it's not over your red line yet?
Not yet, but we've held up the weapons. We've held up the one shipment as an old shipment designed. We've held that up.
The energized Joe Biden of the State of the Union address a few weeks ago seems to be on leave. That stumbling performance created no end of questions for the White House. Why stop weapons shipments now after maintaining for months that support for Israel was ironclad? Precisely what weapons will the US not currently provide? And what of the ceasefire and hostage negotiations that for yet another week have been kicked into the long grass? Matt Miller is a spokesman at the State Department.
A Rafah operation would weaken Israel's position both in these talks and writ large. Any effort like this is incredibly difficult, but we will continue to stay engaged, try to get a deal because we believe it's in the interests of all relevant parties.
I've known Joe Biden for many years. You know, we often had our agreements, but we've had our disagreements.
In Israel itself, Prime Minister Netanyahu shrugged off Biden's threat and indicated that he'll continue doing whatever he likes in Gaza.
We will do what we have to do to protect our country. And that means if Israel has to stand alone, we'll stand alone.
He spoke there to television self-help guru Dr. Phil McGraw, who washed up in Jerusalem this week, further underscoring that it is no longer possible to parody the state of America's broadcast news media. While the Israeli leader was indicating that if necessary, he'll stand alone, on Capitol Hill, Republicans insisted it won't come to that.
The Biden White House has been the most anti-Israel administration this nation has ever seen, literally from day one.
Senator Ted Cruz of Texas reminding us all that while Joe Biden twists in the wind over Gaza and loses support among Arab American, Jewish American and young American voters, for Republicans, it's all binary. They know their supporters will back Israel through thick and thin.
Even though Joe Biden wants to abandon Israel, America does not, and we should not let him. We should stand together and say, America stands united with Israel and Hamas should be utterly destroyed.
Republicans believe that President Biden's mishandling of the crisis in Gaza is encouraging many voters to take a second look at his predecessor. Polling shows that with each passing week, a growing number of Americans view the Trump presidency more favorably than ever. Which brings us to David Lammy. Along with Sir Keir Starmer, he knows there is now a good chance that if Labour finds itself forming the next government in London, they must brace for the possibility of dealing with Donald Trump back in the Oval Office. Mr. Lammy, a man who once described Trump as a tyrant in a toupee and a woman-hating, neo-Nazi sympathizing sociopath, came to Washington this week to make amends and to build bridges with the Trump team.
Well, friends, thank you very much for having me here at the Hudson Institute today.
Mr. Lammy spoke at one of Washington's leading right-wing think tanks. He did not describe Donald Trump as a profound threat to the international order, Mr. Lammy's assessment back in 2018, but instead as
a leader whose attitude to European security is often misunderstood. I do not believe that he's arguing that the United States should abandon Europe. He wants Europeans to do more to ensure a better defended Europe.
And that was just the start. It was a breathtaking piece of repositioning. At one point, he even appeared to draw a comparison between Donald Trump and the late President John F. Kennedy, since both men, he said, had told Europe to take more responsibility for its own affairs.
Were his words in office a little shocking? Yes, they were. Would I have used them? Probably not. But US spending on defense actually grew under President Trump, as did the defense spending of the wider alliance during his tenure. I tell my European friends, don't personalize this. Do more is the American ask. Whoever wins.
One minute you're a tyrant in a toupee, the next you're being romanced by people who suddenly realise they may have to deal with you. It is all music to the ears of Trump supporters like Elbridge Colby, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defence, hotly tipped to play a prominent role in a second Trump term. He's a China hawk who wants the US largely to leave Europe to its own devices, and he told Politico this week that he's fed up with Tories like Lord Cameron coming to Washington and haranguing Republicans over Ukraine.
Now look at what David Cameron has been saying, and any rational person feels harangued. The vision that I'm laying out, and again, I don't speak for anybody, but I think it would resonate, is actually more compatible in some ways with center-left governments. You know, my view is if the Americans are going to expect the Europeans to do more, well, the Europeans should have more discretion in political issues in their neighborhood. Based on what I can see, David Lammy is far preferable to David Cameron, obviously. I mean... Absolutely.
Follow that where it leads, and he is basically suggesting that a far-right government led by Donald Trump may have more in common with a UK Labour government than the Republicans share these days with the Conservatives. And back at the Hudson Institute, Mr. Lammy was making promises he knows he may be called on to keep.
You are going to struggle to find any politician in the Western world who hasn't had things to say in response to Donald Trump. You're really going to struggle. Where I can find common cause with Donald Trump, I will find common cause. I have many friends in the Republican Party. You know, I'm a good Christian boy. So there are lots of, you know, there are places where I can be described and have been described as small-C conservative.
It's hard to know what to make of it in a week in which Natalie Elphick has joined the Labour Party and Mr. Lammy is trying to persuade Trump-supporting Republicans that he might just be one of them. But every time I've listened back to that clip, I've been reminded of one of my favourite pieces of American music.
The Muriel plays piano every Friday at the Hollywood.
The great Mark Cohn, a Jewish American from Cleveland, walking in Memphis and singing of the true story that had him suddenly try out as a gospel singer at the behest of Muriel, a real gospel singer in a hole-in-the-wall cafe called The Hollywood.
She said, "Tell me, are you a Christian child?" And I said, "Ma'am, I am tonight."
The kids today call it code switching, adopting the patois of someone you want to impress, but putting yourself, Tom, at considerable future risk as a result.
I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.